I'm Janet Roper, and you're listening to the Reawaken Right Relationship Podcast. Welcome to this place where we have conversations about creating, nurturing, and sustaining right relationship with all sentient beings. Thank you for listening to this podcast and a hearty dose of gratitude to those who have supported this podcast by making a financial contribution. I delight in providing this on-the-house offering to you, and it is made possible for me to continue to do so thanks to the voluntary support from listeners such as yourself. To become a sustaining member or to make a one-time contribution, you will find the link in the episode notes. Thank you so much for your support. Here's a shout out to two listeners who called in this past week, Mariah and Stuart. Thank you so much for calling in. I love getting messages. It just made my day. I was so happy to see those. And for your kind words, that is very much appreciated. If any of the listeners do want to call in, just go to the Anchor app, and you can get that on iOS or Android, and go to the podcast and just call in, leave your message. Thanks so much. Happy Valentine's Day. I know it's a day early, but I am hoping that you will have a marvelous Valentine's Day with the humans in your life. I should say not only with the humans in your life, but with the animals in your life too. And that's what this episode is about. It's about the Valentines and the love that we share with the animals in our lives and the love that they share with us. I'd like to share this story with you that has to do with one of my feline clients, Bolero, and his family called him Bo, B-O for short. So Bo was 4.5 years old, and he was happily living with his human mom and her new husband. Unfortunately, the husband discovered that he was allergic to cats, and they needed to do something. So the humans discussed available options, keeping Bo's best interest and well-being in mind, and they came up with what appeared to be the perfect solution. Bo would go live with his human grandma, his mom's mom. So now Bo had two moms, both who loved him and only wanted what was best for Bo. And lucky boy, right? Everybody thought everything was hunky-dory and just going well. And everything would have gone according to plan, except for one tiny matter. And there was a 10-year-old resident cat at the house, and that cat considered the house his sanctuary, and he was not willing to share his family, his house, and particularly his human mom, or anything he considered to be his, which, of course, being a cat was everything. He wasn't willing to share anything with what he considered to be a new intruder. So there was a time when the resident cat decided to take matters into his own paws, and there was literally a pissing match. And his grandma called me, his second human mom called me, saying that she was at her wit's end and she had tried everything to get the marking to stop. So her cat, the resident cat, was mad and was throwing hissy fits and was creating chaos in the house. Both cats, particularly the resident cat, were marking their territory. And the resident cat had gone so far as to show his displeasure by peeing in the fruit bowl on the counter. Can't make a more obvious statement than that, can you, folks? So the humans took responsible action, both of Bo's moms. Decided to have both cats checked for UTIs, and they gave the cats their own litter boxes in separate places. They were keeping the litter boxes cleaned. They were feeding the cats in separate places, keeping them either under supervision or separated, and cleaning urine spots immediately afterwards and replacing the carpeting. So the humans were trying to do everything that they knew how to do to make it easier for the cats so there were no more pissing or hissing fits. And then one of the moms decided that she was going to schedule an animal communication session. And both cats were relieved and quite willing to talk and happy to be heard. Within 2 minutes of, and this is, because you can't make this stuff up, folks, okay? So within 2 minutes of our conversation, it was abundantly clear that both cats wanted to be only cats and that Bo was willing to be rehomed. So the rest of the session was spent, and this happens in animal communication sessions. You know, we call them animal communication sessions, but sometimes they turn into human communication sessions. So the rest of that session, it was an hour session, and like I said, 2 minutes were spent on the cats, and the other 58 minutes were spent with helping my human client come to terms with what the cats had requested, what that meant logistically, and most of all, helping her come to terms with the guilt and the inadequacy that she was experiencing. And actually, it was both of the human moms, the mother and the daughter. Bo's humans moms who were in on the conversation. And both of the humans had a deeply rooted belief that when you make a commitment to an animal, it's a lifetime commitment. And that's very admirable, except it doesn't always happen like that. So my job was to help her understand that in honoring both cats' wishes, neither she nor her daughter were failures, but were respecting the cats as sentient beings. And that was what was important. Honoring the cat's wishes and letting go of our human beliefs that, you know, it's forever and ever, amen, because it's not always like that. But however, while it's not always like that, it's never an easy thing to do to come to terms with this. It's really so much more trouble-free for us humans to live under the illusion that we are entitled to make decisions which affect the animals living with us without first consulting them. And when we make those decisions unilaterally, we make it easy on ourselves to ignore the grief and the anger or the heartbreak that we may be inflicting on those animals. So I realize that this is a Valentine's Day story, and hold on, folks, it really does have a great ending. So both moms decided, and both cats had decided, that Bo needed a new home. So then we started in the logistics of rehoming Bo. So the session turned to how best support the cats in their current situation of sharing a home, and at the same time to start the process of looking for a new home for Bo. And it was difficult for my human clients to discuss the rehoming process, as you know, it would be for most of us. Not only were they dealing with their own feelings, but they were worried about the process itself, the length of time it would take to find an appropriate home, and how that would affect the rest of the human family and the rest of the cat family, because both my human clients have cats. So because my clients lived in Minnesota, which is my old stomping grounds, I was able to give her quite a few names of agencies and vet clinics that could help her, that she could contact for help. But in the meantime, I started contacting other communicators and folks that I know personally who might be looking for a cat, or know of someone who might be looking for a cat who might be willing to consider Bo on his terms. So now, enter mom number three. When we started talking about rehoming Bo, one of my personal friends' names kept coming to my mind. I mean, consistently. So here I am in an animal communication session talking with two humans and two cats. And my mind is going, oh, Janet, remember your friend who's looking for a cat? That might be a good match. You might want to check with her. So I ignored the nudge for a while because when I had last spoken to my friend, she was not sure if she was ready to have another cat in her house. But because the nudging was so strong, I decided to follow up on it and contact her anyway. And she said she would get back to me. Now, I need to let you know, my friend is very direct. So when she said, I don't think I can do it right now, I'll get back to you. I'm just going, well, okay, this probably will not be a happening thing. This probably will not work. So a couple days later, she got back to me and she just, you know, she said, I don't think this is going to work for me, but I'd like to know the details. I'd like to know what's going on. And I had permission from my clients to share. So I told her of Bo's situation and also gave her my client's contact information, which I also had permission to do that too. So my friend and Bo's two moms connected, and arrangements were made for Bo and his potential third mom, my friend, to meet. So it was love at first sight. I mean, this is, again, in the category you can't make this stuff up. Bo's two moms approved of my friend and her living situation. Bo approved of everything, and everyone strutted around this new house like he knew exactly what was happening, you know, and of course he did. And he also strutted around the house like it was already his. And he strutted around the house like it was like, I know what's around this corner. I know what's around this corner. Bo was immediately at home. And then my friend, this is the best news, right? My friend just immediately fell for Bo's many charms. So then, at this point, Bo had three moms, all who loved him very much and only wanted what was best for him. Lucky boy, right? Well, yeah, except he's got three moms, and you know, what do we do with this? So while all of his three moms were rejoicing at his new homecoming, it was also bittersweet, with many tears being shed on all three moms' parts. Particularly Bo's first mom was having a difficult time, even though she knew it was in Bo's best interest and was for the best solution of all. You know, it's difficult, ever so difficult, to give up your beloved animal pal, even when you know it is necessary and it's the best for all in the long run. And when you know that the cat has, or the animal has even requested it. But the thing is, and this is a good question to think about, folks, how do you say goodbye when your heart is breaking? So all of us, three moms, me and Bo, and the first cat, the resident cat of Bo's second mom, was out of the picture now, not out of the picture in their home, but out of the picture in conversation. So Bo and his three moms and me all had a conversation, and we talked about grieving. And I made the comment that I believe grieving a death is easier than grieving a rehoming. And I don't mean that flippantly. Both are grief, both are very deep, and they are different. So Bo was adamant that his three moms stay in contact with each other, right? Bo's in the driver's seat at this time. And, you know, for my own ego, it would have been nice to think that I was in the driver's seat, but nope, I wasn't. I was in the back seat. I was letting Bo take the wheel and really actually quite enjoying this ride. And Bo was very adamant that the door stay open with connections, and he wanted his new mom, number three, to send pictures back to moms one and two. And he also wanted moms one and two to check in with moms number three. So here, Bo is a bridge between these three women and just helping them with their grief, helping them get used to a life for, you know, moms one and two, helping them get used to a life without him. And for my friend, mom number three, helping her get used to a life with him. So again, in the category, you can't make this stuff up. This all took place in 72 hours. Truth. And it has truly turned out to be the best for all involved. And this is one of those cases where it was simply meant to be. The humans got out of the way and let timing, synchronicity, and the universe, whatever you want to call it, to do its own thing. Or they were willing to listen to the cat and listen to what Bo wanted. So all of this took place around Valentine's Day. And it was, let me check my memory here. It was about 3 years ago on Valentine's Day, okay? So on Valentine's Day, my friend, who was single, had a new cat. And she decided to keep Bo's name, but she changed the spelling to B-E-A-U. And so now, mom number three, my friend, Bo's permanent mom, had a new beau on Valentine's Day. Isn't that a magnificent story? What stories do you have about Valentine's experiences that you've had with your animal pals? You know, why don't you just come onto the Anchor app and come to the Reawaken Right Relationship homepage there on the Anchor app and just message me. Leave your stories and, you know, happy to listen to them. see what you've got to say, and we can talk if you want to. That would just be absolutely lovely. So leave your comments. Happy to hear them.
Almost 2 years ago, I was having dreams about a white cat, to the point that I started looking for a white cat to adopt. So every time I'd go into PetSmart, I would look at the cats. I never really felt any connection to any of them. It might have been 3 or 4 weeks later, there was a cat that showed up on my porch, and I ended up feeding her. And the next day I saw her, so I fed her again. And the next day, I fed her again, and then she showed up with some kittens. And two of them happened to be white, a whitish color. They weren't perfectly white, but they were white colored. In my dreams, I would have like conversations with this cat, and then later I wondered if it was plural. Kind of that place in the dream state where you feel the messages coming through pretty clear. You feel the energies of, in this case, the animals. It turned out, I ended up adopting both of these white kittens. One of them she's almost like a Blue Point Siamese, and that would be Luna, and she's my little shadow now. But these kittens, they were born outside, so they were pretty feral. They didn't like people at all. And one of the things that I did to gain Luna's trust was I was able to feed her canned food off of a spoon. Canned cat food. And then I would play with her with toys. But I ended up catching Luna with a cat toy. It was a plastic fishing pole that had a small stuffed mouse tied to it. That's what I caught her with, a fishing pole. So I ended up taking her in the house. But before I caught Luna, there was another one of the kittens, which we named Maggie. She was the runt, a small tabby. She was friendly compared to the others. You could pick Maggie up, but we adopted Maggie also. But the other white kitten, which we adopted, she's the scared one. She was afraid of everything. She still is pretty timid. She's gotten a lot better. I've made the joke before that she wants to be brave, but she's afraid to. And I named her Saki. And the reason I named her Saki was because every time I'd walk into a room, if I didn't talk to her, she would run. But as long as I talked to her, she would stay put. You know, she wasn't so afraid. So when I would walk into a room that she was in, I would ask her if she had her big girl socks on, which helped her stay, and that's how she got her name of Saki, or Sock for short. She's doing much better now. She's not so afraid. She's out and about, but it's taken a long time and a lot of work. So if you ever decide that you want to adopt feral kittens, it takes a lot to bring them back to the, I guess, fully domesticated side. Even though it's been 2 years, these guys aren't fully domesticated. They still have that survival thing of run. But that's my story. Thank you.
Even though it's Valentine's Day, and in general, when we think of Valentine's Day, we think of all the love that is in the air, and we think of the warm fuzzies and spreading love and receiving love, and everything is just hunky-dory, beautiful, right? Well, it's not always that case. As you heard a little bit earlier, Bo, the cat, had to find a new home, had to be rehomed, and it happened around Valentine's Day, and it was really difficult for his three moms to come to terms with that. I have a lot of my clients that they will either remember the passing of an animal pal, or have an animal pal pass right around the day of a holiday. And that's difficult. So I do want to take a moment to address that, because not everybody will need to hear this, but the people who need to hear this, they really need to hear this. So this is for you. One client that comes to mind is a woman who her first animal pal was a cat. And she didn't grow up with animals, so you know she didn't receive her or didn't get her first animal pal until she was in her 40s. And her cat passed away 2 days before Valentine's Day, and she was beside herself with grief. Not only the grief of losing a first animal pal, not only the grief of losing an animal pal that was so special, and yes, our animal pals are all special to her, to us, but because she had not grown up with them, this cat was ultra special and taught her many things about how to live with animals, what to expect, how to be in right relationship, respectful relationship with animals. So having the cat pass away 2 days before Valentine's Day was just devastating. And then I remember that my dog Teddy, that when he passed away, that I thought I was, you know, getting over the grief and everything was fine and, you know, moving on as what I thought was planned, until I received a letter from a vet school, from a college in Iowa, and I had no idea what it was. And luckily I opened it up, because, you know, I could have just looked at it and thought junk mail. But I opened the letter expecting it to either be junk mail or work-related for me in some way, shape, or form. And instead, it was notification that the vet who had given Teddy the final shot before Teddy transitioned on had made a donation to the vet program in Teddy's name. And sometimes it's like things like that that come up, pop up for us unexpectedly, that can just send us over the bin, so to speak, and really open up that grief. And sometimes whenever there's a holiday that's involved, it opens up the grief even more. So one of the things to be aware of if you're experiencing what I call pet grief over the holidays is, first of all, to know that it's normal, okay? And to be very kind and very gentle with yourself. And to be sure that you invest in self-care for yourself. So investing in self-care doesn't necessarily mean you go out and buy something, okay? But it means that you're putting yourself first and you are investing in the care that you need at that moment in time. And, you know, some people have what I call crash and cry moments. And that's when the grief comes to them and they just literally crash, you know, on the couch or in bed or something and start crying. You know, if that comes to you, just go with it. And also part of self-care is to participate in activities which give you life. Maybe that's being with friends. Maybe it's being with other four-leggeds in your house. Maybe it's music. Maybe it's books. Maybe it's hot baths. Maybe it's shopping. Maybe it's going for a run in the snow, or going for a walk in the snow, or making a snowman. Or if you're not living in the Northern Hemisphere, maybe it's going for a swim, cooling yourself off in some way. But whatever the self-care is for you, to make sure that you invest in yourself with that self-care. And the amazing thing about self-care is that it's different things for different folks, right? So I had mentioned, you know, maybe self-care is going shopping. Well, I'm not a shopper, so self-care for me, it quite frankly is one of the cycles of hell. Because I don't like going shopping in the best of times. And if I'm grieving, that is not the best of times for me to go shopping. So just be aware what self-care is for you and to honor yourself by doing that. Be realistic about what you can and cannot do over this Valentine's Day. And if you need to take a break, go ahead and take a break. If you need to be with people, go ahead and be with people. Again, it's different things for different folks. Honoring yourself, knowing what you need, and being able to say, You know, thank you for inviting me to go out for dinner on Valentine's Day. I'd really love to, but I need to stay home and just be with myself this Valentine's Day. To say something that simple. And then maybe ask if you can take a rain check. Again, it goes back to the self-care, what works for you. And then when you say no, and it is okay to say no, folks. Let me repeat that. It's okay to say no. The thing to keep in mind is that that is a part of self-care also. So by saying no to something, you're saying yes to yourself. Some questions you might have as you know, about the self-care and if you're grieving is, what would make me feel better at this moment in time? Or what would give me relief at this moment in time? If you are grieving, make sure that you get lots of rest, exercise, plenty of water, plenty of healthy food. If you need to take a nap, and if you are able to do so, do that. Do what gives you life, whether it's hiking, and I can't say that enough. Whatever gives you life is a self-care. And the way I experience what gives me life is that I lose time. So coloring for me gives me life. And I can literally color for hours and think only 5 minutes have passed. Think of what that activity is in your life. And if you're grieving, invest in yourself by doing that activity. Some people, when they're grieving, it will help them to go to familiar places. Some people, it won't. Some people, it will help to go to unfamiliar places. Some people, it won't. Again, it goes back to knowing yourself. If it helps to share your story, share your story. Some people, that will help. And some people will not want to share their story. And that's okay, too. So, again, honoring what works for you. And to know that, again, as I'm listening to myself and I'm recording this, I realize I'm sounding like a broken record. And in hindsight, I'm okay with that because grief is such an alien concept in our society that we are taught that we should grieve in a certain way, which usually means that we should be grieving so that the person who is trying to help us doesn't feel uncomfortable, which is not grieving. Grieving is in part taking care of ourselves because we have suffered a loss. And so when you hear those words should, you know, you should go out because that'll make you feel better. That person might be trying to help you feel better. Their intentions are probably hunky-dory, really good, you know, but you're the one who has to decide if that will make you feel better. And then the other thing, and this was hard for me to learn, is that, and I've said this again, broken record time, folks, it's okay to say no. It's okay to say no and to keep repeating it. And you can say, no, thank you. Not at this time. But again, if you're invited to do something, to go somewhere, and you just feel like, I don't have the energy for that, honor that you don't have the energy for that. And one of the things that I have learned from the animals throughout the years is that they only want us to love ourselves as much as they love us. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You all know that I'm a nerd when it comes to pet safety, animal safety. So, of course, I want to bring that up in this Valentine's Day episode because Valentine's Day, we got the chocolate out, we got all the good stuff out, we've got some of the wine out, we've got flowers out, there's cocktails, you might be having some cocktails, and candles, and doesn't that just sound all romantic and just beautiful? Well, human to human it is, right? But you got to remember that our animal pals look at things and experience things differently than we do. So some safety tips to keep in mind. For your animal pals this Valentine's Day is be aware of the bouquets, the flowers that come into your house, okay? You want to make them pet safe, animal safe as possible. And particularly with cats, because they're going to be the ones that are nosing up, jumping up on the table where that bouquet is, right? So make sure that that bouquet does not contain lilies, no lilies in Valentine's Day bouquets, because those are It can send your animal pal to the vet or to the emergency vet if they ingest lilies, and it can be toxic. So no lilies in the bouquets for Valentine's Day. If you have roses in there, you want to be careful of that too, because we all know all of us have been stuck by those thorns on the beautiful roses. And the same thing can happen to an animal pals. If they're sniffing them, if they're pawing at them, they can get caught up in those thorns. They can even step on it or chew the thorn. And that can cause, if they step on it and there's a puncture, that can cause an infection. So keep those bouquets away from your animal pals. And chocolate, just no. Don't even go down the route of chocolate. Keep it out of their way. And we all know how they have such great noses and can smell things out and can jump places. And how all the animal pals, at least the ones that I've had and have, they're so much smarter than I am. So when I think something is out of the way, they will find a way to get to it. So when you're looking to put the chocolate away, out of the way, look at it from their perspective. So it really is not in a place that they can jump to or open up the cabinet door and get to. If you've got any cocktail, champagne, wine, anything like that, make sure that that's away from them too, because they might take a sip and that can cause vomiting, diarrhea, lack of coordination, all kinds of things. So you want to make sure that the cocktails, the champagne, the wine is away from the animal pals. And I've mentioned chocolate, but let's talk about xylitol. That is the ingredient that is in gum. And that can be lethal. And that's a worst case scenario, right? It can be lethal if your animal pal gets something that has xylitol in it, but it can happen. So if you suspect that your animal pal has gotten it maybe into a coat pocket or a purse that's had something that contains xylitol in them, it's best to call the vet. Better safe than sorry. And some ways that you can tell, or some symptoms that you will see, is that they may, if they've had xylitol, they might suffer depression, have a loss of coordination, or even seizures. So better safe than sorry. Call your vet. And if it's after hours, I wouldn't wait until the next day. I would call the emergency vet. And I know not all people can do that. But if you can, go ahead and do that. And it'll give you sleep insurance, if nothing else. Make sure that the candles stay out of the way of cat paws, dog noses, and cat and dog tails, because they can knock those over. And you don't need to call 911 on Valentine's Day, right? Because there's been a candle that's knocked over. So make sure that your candles are safe, not accessible to the animals. And then with the gifts that you're giving on Valentine's Day, you know, with the pretty bows, the wrapping paper, the cellophane, and maybe even some balloons, if swallowed and ingested, that can be not so much fun. That might be another call to the vet. So make sure that anything that looks like it's fun to play with or fun to chew on, that that is out of the way of the animals. So keeping those ideas in mind, those tips in mind, are going to ensure that you and your animal pals have a great Valentine's Day. If you would like to reach out and help shelter animals on Valentine's Day, what a great way to share your love for animals, right? And you can just call your local shelter, call your local rescue, and just call your local rehab and see how they could use your help this Valentine's Day. So you can just see, give them a call and find out how to donate and if they have any specific needs that they need, you know, any specific items that they need. And if you're going online and you're going to your local shelter or rescue, a lot of times they will have a donate page on there if you want to donate financially. And a lot of times they will also have on there items that they need. So go to that local page, Google it, see what they've got to say about it, or give them a call. And that is a great way to help the animals who are in a shelter or a rescue, is by seeing what they need and donating that, which helps the people there help the animals. Yay! Isn't that wonderful? And then you might, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb because I'm not sure this is 100% true, but I'm going to guess that it's 95% true, is that rescues could always use food. Okay, think of donating food and treats. Maybe give them a call and say, do you need cat food? Do you need kitten food? Do you need dog food? Do you need puppy food? Do you need bunny food? What do you need? And then also think of donating things like chew toys, kitty litter, bedding, blankets, rugs, pet carriers, crates, bowls, feeding trays, grooming items. That's just to name a few, right? Because the shelters and the rescues, they need our help in helping the animals. And like I said, it's a great time to share your love for animals on Valentine's Day. Now, those of us who live with animals know that cleaning supplies are essential, right? So maybe you just see what cleaning supplies you have, run to your favorite store, pick those up, and on the way home, stop by the rescue or the shelter or the rehab center and just drop them off and say, here's some cleaning supplies in case you need them. And also think about the office there at the rescue. The office, they're always going to have office needs, okay? Office equipment, supplies, even things like phones or computers, you know? Maybe if you've got an old computer, now I'm not talking about an original computer back from the dark ages, but, you know, one that's a couple years old, maybe call that shelter and say, hey, I've got this Mac or this PC, can you use it? And see what they've got to say. I always like, when I can, to donate money, because that way the folks there at the shelter can get exactly what they need. And it can even go to like helping with vet bills and even with some of the animals that might need surgery there, might need medical care. So if you can donate money, donate money. And then a lot of places, and I don't remember the exact place on Amazon, but I think if you go to the shelter and the rescue, and if they do offer this, they will have a wish list on Amazon, and you can go there and make your donations there. And then, of course, as humans, we can always consider becoming a volunteer and donating our time. So any of these ways that you can think of to help the animals who are not so lucky as your own animal pals to be in a home over this Valentine's Day, maybe just give the shelters a call and see how you can help them reach out that way. And thank you so much for doing that. On next week's episode of the Reawaken Right Relationship podcast, we are raising a sensitive and controversial subject, and I will be the first to admit it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea. Because there's a tendency, a hesitancy, to bring this topic up because of the strong emotions, the opinions, and frankly, the moral convictions which are attached to it. And so the reason we're doing so is we want to open a door to conversation so that we can take advantage of opportunities for listening and for learning. And frankly, we need to be aware of our own triggers and sensitivities around this uncomfortable topic because not everything is what it initially appears to be. So I hope you will join me next week with guest Nicholas Haney as we will be talking about the ethics of animistic hunting. Do you love what you're hearing on this podcast? I sure hope so. And if you are loving it, I ask that you show support by liking it and leaving a comment or review on whatever platform you are listening to this on. You can also show your support by sharing it with your friends and family. And I so appreciate your help. Thank you. I think you'll enjoy the podcast, Everyday Animism, that I co-host with two exceptional women, Kelly Harrow of SoulfulIntentArts.com and Brandi Schnabel of SoulfulFocus.com. In this podcast, we explore all things animism, particularly how animism impacts everyday life. You can find it here at Anchor or on your favorite podcast platform. The 20 plus years that I have spent writing, speaking, podcasting, and sharing what I know with you have all been to support your life and relationship with the animals and the other nature beings you love so dearly. I share what I know and intuit freely, a gift from my heart and spirit to you and the sentient beings of the world. It's a body of work grounded in love and infinite respect for all life, because we all do better when all creatures do better. If you find my work helpful, if an article or a podcast has inspired or informed you or expanded possibilities in your world, a donation would be deeply appreciated as a way to show your support. You can make a payment of any amount at paypal.me/Janet Roper, or simply go to my website, www.janetroper.com, and at the top you will see a tab that says Make a Contribution, and you can make your contribution there. I thank you very much. Your contribution makes my work sustainable. Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you have enjoyed hearing this, remember to subscribe to the podcast on Anchor or iTunes. And if you would like to follow more of my work, please visit www.janetroper.com.